$500 may be paid over 10 months. Call 530-795-1776. That's 530-795-1776 or visit our website.
More than no one wants. Break the lips to
Thank you, Pastor Dan. title of the poem is The Year 2000. The year 2000, what will it bring? The blessings of Yahweh or the scorpion's sting? As midnight approaches, Satan awaits. He plans to wreak havoc, that foolish retrobate. His minions have gathered, he has hissed in their ears. Evil is good, good is evil, and he's done it for years. He thinks he has won with all the proselytes he has turned, but oh, that fallen angel has a harsh lesson to learn. We are Yahweh's creation. He is time and space. The calendar of man holds not a trace. Our Father is coming. He told us he would. Though we know not the exact hour, stand and be ready because he said that we should. From the slithering snake to the sweet morning dove, may his will be done, below and above. Take a moment, my friend. What will you choose? If you choose wisely, you know you can't lose. The year 2000, what will it bring? The blessings of Yahweh or the scorpion's sting? Thank you very much, Pastor Dan.
Thank you. Also, I'd like to make a correction from last week's program. I gave you all a new buzzword that we should be using, rhadamanthine, and having listened to the tape, I realized I misspelt the word. So if some of you were trying to look it up, I guess you might have had a little difficulty. The correct spelling of the word is R-H-A-D-A-M-A-N-T-H-I-N-E. I'm going to drum that one into everybody's head, and I'm going to be using it for the next year if I get the chance, because that's a word that should become an everyday word in our vocabulary, because it means strictly and uncompromisingly just. And that's what each and every one of us should be. If we put the word of Yahweh to work in our lives, that's a word that should be used to describe each and every one of us. Rhadamanthine. Another little announcement is Dr. Judy has got a new program starting, I believe, the first Friday in January. It'll be coming on 1 hour before this program, so she'll be on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the same station and channel, and I believe her title of the program is going to be Healthy Alternatives, so we're looking forward to that. And, of course, as the title implies, it'll be dedicated to health issues, of which she is very expert in. Okay, before my guest comes on, I wanted to read a couple things here, and I'm going to draw upon the works of that great teacher of our faith, Bertrand Comparé, and I'm going to read just portions of a couple of his because I think they apply to where we're at this point in time. The first one is, we face the future, and it goes as this. This is unquestionably a time of deep and growing danger all over the world. Facing this, many people either choose to close their minds and refuse to believe the facts, or else they panic with terror. Both reactions are wrong. Truth must always be faced, and this is the most imperative when truth is unpleasant. It is only unpleasant when there is something you should be doing about it. Christians should have no fear of the future. We should act boldly for the right, and more so in proportion to the danger. Yahweh's promises in the Bible are clear assurance that our victory is predestined. For example, Psalm 139 says, all the days of my life were foreseen by thee, set down within thy book, ere ever they took shape. They were assigned to me, ere every one of them was mine. Isaiah chapter 44 records, fear nothing, dread not in the days to come. Have not I foretold it and announced it long ago? Proverbs 16 continues, trust your affairs to the Eternal, and your plans will prosper. The Eternal has made everything for an end of its own, yes, even for the wicked, for their day of doom. In Romans chapter 8, Paul comforts us with these words, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Yahweh, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of Yahshua. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? if Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Near the end of that lecture, you know what future you face today. The enemies of all civilization are the enemies of Yahshua. They are mobilizing all the forces of evil against us in Asia, Africa, and wherever they have control and influence, even among us on our own continent. They boast of the weapons they have prepared. They brag about the number of slave troops they will unleash against us and the war of destruction they have planned. However, we have Yahweh's promise, quote, no weapon formed against thee will prosper. The war these Assyrian Jews are planning will be their own suicide. Don't pray to avoid it, for Yahweh has already prophesied that it will come, and very soon. Rather pray for Yahweh's early intervention for our victory. Be like the John I told you about. Prepare yourselves for battle. Wherever it may occur, then walk without fear, for it is your enemy whose time has come. I thought that most appropriate for this time. And just a short couple paragraphs out of another lecture called Birth Pangs of the Age, as this is the new beginning. Very few people are satisfied with the present age. Even the materialists want to change it. Consequently, they are easy prey to communism because they have no ideals or principles. Their motto is, let's get it all we can, by any way or means possible. We want something better, not just more pay for the unions, more time to watch worse television, more money to buy synthetic whiskey, or bigger and more deadly traffic jams. We want the true liberty, the real good, which can come only in the kingdom of Yahweh. There is no way to bring in the true good while the forces of evil of the present age still rule the world. What chance has any good while our country is in the hands of stupid or traitorous politicians? There is no political party left in these United States which even pretends to represent the majority of the people. Both labor and capital would gladly sink the ship of state if only they can steal a larger piece of the wreckage for themselves. It has reached a point where man alone can't clean up the mess he has made. Only Yahweh's strong hand will suffice. In the past, Yahweh has allowed evil to destroy itself. He has used different groups of evil men to overthrow apostate Israel and Judah. Somewhat the same thing may underlie the present grouping of the pagan and godless nations of the world against the Christian nations. These nations have allowed the aliens who hate Yahshua to come in. They have infiltrated every activity, business, churches, government, and turn our people away from their loyalty to Yahshua and our racial way of life. Again, I thought those were most appropriate, that this is not goodbye, this is hello. If you have something you'd like to either ask or contribute on this last day of the 1900s, feel free to do so. We certainly encourage it. Is Pastor Bruce Soloway on? Pastor Bruce, is he on? Okay, I guess he isn't.
Yes, he is.
Oh, Bruce, are you there?
That's Dan.
Yes.
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Okay, I'll try to. Is that any better?
No, it's just real dim.
Okay, I'll try to keep my voice up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Bruce Soloway of Michigan State, and I believe, Bruce, you could give us a little report on something that happened this week.
Well, yeah. You know, I met with our local sheriff this week regarding the Y2K situation. I met with his command staff, and we discussed the possibilities of having some disruptions in our county. And we met for about 2 hours. So we went over all of the possibilities of what could happen in our county. And one of the biggest things that we did is we established his lines of authority, and that is that the sheriff is the highest executive officer in the county and that his authority should be relinquished to no one, including the federal authorities.
Was he aware of that beforehand, or was this something new to him?
No, he was aware of it, and he's done a really good job for us here in Nuevo County, where I live here in Michigan. which is north of Grand Rapids. Our sheriff, he's been in law enforcement some 25 years, and he is a very honest man. I've known him for about 18 years, and he's treated me very well all of these years that I've known him. And then, of course, I'm a commander for Newaygo County's militia as well, and we've managed to maintain a real good rapport all of these years.
So this is helping to fight the paranoia trying to be stirred up by these groups like ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center that are trying to get those in uniform turned against the good people that are part of these Christian militias.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, they keep stirring the pot, but the law enforcement people aren't buying it. I had a call earlier yesterday afternoon by law enforcement from the federal side regarding some rumors that they had heard that might be coming up our way. And they called me up, you know, and they said, you know, have you heard these rumors? I said, yes, I've heard those rumors. And they said, well, we're just checking with you to see, you know, what was what, you know. And so law enforcement isn't buying it. You know, the media is doing their best to paint this picture of this terrorism, and quite frankly, law enforcement just isn't buying it.
Well, that's good news. As my father used to tell me, in the absence of information, the worst is often assumed. So I think it's a great thing that you have that kind of relationship to where you can go down there and let them know what the reality of the situation is versus what the propagandists are trying to stir up.
Well, you know, we've worked with law enforcement for a long time, and we actually have a pretty good track record as far as our information and some of the things that have happened. And so they know that when we're talking to them, we're serious, and the information that we have is correct. We don't send them off on wild goose chases and things like that. So that really helps when it comes time to, when times like this are upon us where the media and, let's say, the neighbors or whatever are making phone calls and saying, you know, I believe this or I believe that. And, you know, law enforcement looks at that and says, you know, hey, you know, we know these people and this isn't so. And so it's been good for us.
Well, that's excellent, absolutely excellent. Do they have a feel for how others in the state, the other county people in the state, are they pretty much of similar belief as far as you know?
You know, I really don't know. I know they do meet, you know, every month they have meetings and so on and so forth where other law enforcement get together, especially the sheriff's department. But, you know, I just don't know what the other feelings are in the other counties. I'd assume it's not the same because, you know, they don't have that one-on-one relationship with people that they know and have known for a number of years. So I think that maybe our county is unique in Michigan. I know there's some other counties that are, you know, that have good rapport with their sheriffs, especially with militia-type, you know, things.
Uh-huh.
But in our case, I think it's a fairly unique situation.
It's a shame because I think with some information or if there were people in the militia who would do what you've done, it would go a long way. I had a case a couple times where I was able to talk with some state troopers in some states back east. And after the initial contact and everything, and they got to realize what I was all about and everything else, they sort of relaxed. And one of the things that they mentioned to me was that they're being propagandized heavily and that they would appreciate being able to talk with gentlemen like yourself to get, if you want to call it, our side of the story, because if they don't talk to us, they're only getting what these typically Jewish organizations are putting out, propaganda against the Christian militia.
Well, you know, we're hoping that the Y2K situation, if it's a non-event, which it looks like it may very well be a non-event, has opened up the doors for communication for some other matters. And, you know, if we can take this now and go in and try and educate law enforcement, you see, law enforcement happens to be the arm that the judicial system is using to perpetrate the crimes against the American people, and they're not using true law as we know it. And so it's interesting to see how it has all unfolded over the last 5 years, whereas now we realize now that what the judicial system is using is the Uniform Commercial Code instead of statutes and the Constitution laws and things of that nature. So they're using commercial agreements as the laws that they're using to uphold that. And that's why you're getting the fines, the heavy fines, and also you're getting jail time. And that's all because of the contracts that we managed to get ourselves into. And if law enforcement was educated on this, I think we could actually have a chance of turning around something here in this country. But one of the things that we talked to our sheriff about was the possibility of Y2K whiplash. And that's basically an economic situation that's going to be coming to this country, at least we believe it will be. And if it's not an economic disaster, it's certainly going to be probably a deep recession or depression due to all the disruptions that we're going to have in these countries that are importing products. And so we talked to them quite extensively about what might be coming our way gradually should Y2K become a non-event, which it certainly looks like it may very well be.
Well, that sounds like a heads-up approach there, because like you said, and we've tried to tell people, don't get fixed on this Y2K because it can go either way. But there are some serious problems within the country that are for real and that we need to deal with. And you've touched on some of them right there. And the title of the program is A New Beginning. And I think we can dedicate this coming year, if Yahweh prevails and we can stay on the air, and if good men like yourself, we can continue to get out to these people and show them where they've been used and lied to and deceived, we can turn this thing in an about-face 180 degrees around.
Well, I think it's going to be a good thing. With Y2K becoming not as severe as we thought it would be, or could have been, put it that way, we're going to be able to take advantage of that and possibly educate a lot more people now. Those people who suddenly at the last hour decided they better get prepared for some sort of a Y2K situation. All of those people that have prepared for this are all of the people that are interested in getting this country changed around. So we pretty much now know that there's just millions and millions of people out in this country who are concerned, that are listening. Maybe they're not willing to act until the last minute, but by golly, they are paying attention, and I think that now we've seen that, and it's been demonstrated to us through the millions and millions and millions of generators that were sold, the food storage, just a lot of people that were preparing for something that, you know, actually may very well turn out to be not as serious as they thought it might be. But those are the people that we're going to now be able to reach with our message, educate them on who's doing what, and quite frankly, I think these Jews need to finally get it through their head that we're not going away, we're going to be here, and we're going to take them on head to head. And if that means we can do it in a peaceful manner and run them clean out of here, fine. If not, we'll do it by other means.
Oh, absolutely. As I've told people, Alan Dershowitz, the Jewish law professor at Harvard, was on national television bragging, at least I considered it bragging, that, if I can paraphrase him here, All the hoopla over Clinton is nothing more than the Christians in America trying to take it back. And I believe he speaks for their folks. They consider this coup to have already occurred, and we are on the outside looking in. And as you have said, I'm here to say that we're not going away. And as Daniel New said, maybe it's time that we Christians get off our butts and take dominion as Yahshua commanded us to do.
Well, that's right. And you know, the United States Supreme Court has deemed this country a Christian nation three times. I believe the first time was in 1889, then 1952, and then 1961. And whether the Jews like it or not, this is a Christian nation. It has been deemed so by this country's Supreme Court, and it does go through their head. And we're not just going to let them take it away from us. And it's about time that maybe we get some people into our White House and into that staff, the supporting staff, and all of that, that are not Jewish, so that we can get a Christian nation back under our feet. If you look at the staff of Bill Clinton, his cabinet and the cabinet staff, you look at most of the staff for all of our congressmen and senators, just so happens that probably about 70% of them are Jewish. Now, quite frankly, if this is a Christian nation, all of those people should be Christians. And I think it's about high time that we get that job done.
Absolutely. And the scriptures command it. It says an alien, whether alien race or alien religion, is not to be in authority over his chosen people. And we violated the law and allowed these people to get in positions of authority. And anybody that thinks that religion doesn't matter and what a person believes doesn't matter, you're a fool. And I know the scriptures tell me I shouldn't call somebody a fool, but it's pretty hard not to if you can't figure it out, that character counts. What a person believes counts. And how you can put aliens, aliens of race, aliens of alien theocracy into your government and think for 1 minute that it won't affect the way your country runs, you have to be foolish. So anyway, Pastor Bruce, did you have anything else you want to bring up after the break, or is that pretty much everything you wanted to talk about?
Well, I would say this. I would hope that all those folks that are listening to this program and would pass this word out that we need to start working together and we need to be moving forward in a positive fashion. And we can't continue to put off till tomorrow what we can do today. We've got to get this job done. We've got to get this country back underway. And one thing that the American people should know is that 88% of our Navy fleet is sitting in our harbors right now. That leaves 12% of our naval forces at sea, either deployed or underway. Now, it looks just like another Pearl Harbor sitting out there. When you go out there to Newport Beach and you see five nuclear flat top aircraft carriers sitting out in the harbor just waiting for whatever might come along. And I think that the military has made a very serious mistake by bringing all our naval warships into these ports. And they're just sitting ducks, you know.
Absolutely. It does have a resemblance to Pearl Harbor, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and it's just maybe it's a non-event, maybe nothing will happen, but by golly, it looks like we're set up.
Sure does. Well, we got to go to break now. If you want to stick on, go ahead there, Pastor Bruce. If not, we appreciate you coming on and giving us that report. And we'll just take a quick break here, and then we'll come back to the program.
All right. Well, thanks, Dan.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
emergency hand pumping system. Use your own well. An endless supply of water. Easy installation. Less than 1 hour to install by yourself. Pumps 5 to 7 gallons per minute by hand. Pumps on both strokes, up and down. A secure supply of water for your family. When all else fails, EPS will work. No major parts to wear out. No leathers, O-rings, flappers, or rubber parts. The hand pumps are portable and can be installed from well to well. The EPS has an affordable price for a deep well hand pump. Orders filled promptly. We also have water filters. Phone 208-684-3886. That's 208-684-3886. Find out just how the criminal justice system works and just how corrupt the system is. Michael Brown's newest law book, The Criminal Defendant's Bible, teaches you the ins and outs of our criminal legal system. Learn what to expect and what to be on guard for. Proven successful remedies for dealing with a lie. The Criminal Defendant's Bible covers Michael Brown's experience over the last 25 years of helping people who have been unjustly accused. The Criminal Defendant's Bible is $50. Send checks or money orders to Heritage Broadcasting Systems, 4904. Tippett New Drive, that's TIPPECANOE Drive, Evansville, Indiana, 47715. Broadcasting system on Galaxy 7 and Transponder 14, 7.71 wideband audio. We thank you for listening.
What will you do without freedom? Will you fight? No! We will run! We will live! Alright? Fight and you may die. Run! You'll live! At least a while. And dying in your bed many years from now, would you be willing to trade all of it from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight's program, A New Beginning, as we go through the final hours of the 1900s here, we're looking forward to a new beginning, and we're going to dedicate all our efforts to rebuilding this Christian Republic back to the way it should have been all along. I'd like to introduce my guest for the second half of the program. And again, we don't have a whole lot of time to spend with him, so tonight we're just going to whet your appetite, and we're going to have this gentleman back on the program as soon as we can. But Mr. James Wesley Stivers has been on the Herald of Truth in the past with some of his lectures. He writes a series of biblical essays, if you will, called Biblical Terranomics, and they can be found archived on his website. He's the author of a book called Eros Made Sacred, which I've read, and is one heck of a book. Now, you want to talk about a good writer who can put sometimes what seems to be a complicated matter into easy-to-understand terms, Mr. Stivers can do that. Welcome to the program, Mr. Stivers.
Thank you very much, Pastor Dan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And before we get started, I guess we have a caller, if you could just be patient with us here. I think we have Mr. X on the line.
All right.
Mr. X? Maybe we don't. All right, anyway.
Yeah, Pastor Dan?
Oh, hello, Mr. X?
Yes, how are you? Yahweh bless you.
Yahweh bless you.
Thank you very much for the kind words early in the show.
Oh, well, you're certainly welcome, sir. You've earned them.
Well, thank you.
All righty.
I look forward to this next year. We just get a bigger audience and just keep enlightening our people. Because they can't, the Jews have a great saying, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. Well, how about if we tell the truth long enough? What does that become?
It becomes an education for the people that are starving for the truth.
That's exactly right.
All righty. Well, that's what we're going to dedicate this coming year. As long as the Father provides, the allows us to, we're going to dedicate it to just that purpose. And we've just begun. So onward and upward, and let's take our country back. What do you think?
There's no question about it. That's the only thing to do. I tell the Christians that I run into that when they doubt and they say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, I say, well, if you believe Christ was a Jew and that the Jews are God's chosen people, you ought to just quit Christianity altogether and go become a Jew. Well, that kind of gets the reality there, and they don't know what to think about that. But there's a lot of wisdom in those words.
Well, you have to do something to hit them between the eyes anymore with a figurative 2x4 to wake them up.
That's true. I know you have your guest you want to talk to, so I'll let you go. And best of luck in the new year, and with Yahweh's blessings, it'll be a great one for all of us.
I certainly hope so, and thank you, and continued success with your program on Monday night.
Thank you, sir. Yahweh bless you.
All right. Sorry for the error, Mr. Stivers. But I was reading your Biblical Terranomics number 24 today, which is Christian Reconstruction, Which Paradigm. Interesting reading. Incredible the amount of research you do. The thing I noticed in it, I think we can agree that what we need to do is reconstruct our country and get back as a ship of state, so to speak, with the proper rudder, which would be Yahweh's law.
Yes, and if you look at writings of the Founding Fathers, I think that was their aspiration as well. They were forced into making some compromises at that time in order to get things up and running. But they hoped that through the ability to amend the Constitution that we could have been more closer to Yahweh's plan for our country. That was certainly their hope, I think, at least for many of them.
Yes, absolutely. I took some notes down here. Now, as we rebuild our foundation, since we've pretty much lost all of them, thanks to the work of our enemies within our land, the traitors and whatnot, we got to rebuild from the bottom up. And you write extensively on the family and the proper relationship within families in a patriarchal sense anyway, and also the husband-wife relationship. Would you like to kind of go into that just a little bit?
Certainly. This isn't anything new as far as our country is concerned. America was founded upon a concept of the patriarchy, a dedication to biblical law. We had, the Founding Fathers saw the value of the agrarian-based society, men who were living close to the land and from the land, providing their own subsistence, providing for their families, living in an independent existence, not relying upon the government. They, of course, taught limited government. Some of them felt that the Constitution was too much government. I think they provided us an opportunity to, if we had chosen to go on the course of the common law and then back to biblical law at its source and to restore that. Because you remember, America was coming at the tail end of the Protestant Reformation, and even the Pilgrims recognized that the Reformation was not done. John Robinson, the pastor of the Pilgrims, urged them to continue the quest for truth of finding the teachings, the true teachings of God in the Scriptures, and so they did for a time, but our country became more interested in the economic benefits that resulted from using this continent, and of course the powerful business interests of Europe tried to keep a foothold in this country even after the Republic was established, and of course over the course of time, the corporate system regained control of our economy. But the vision of the Founding Fathers was, of course, the concept that was held in the entire country, but in the South longer than the rest of the country, and that was the notion of the man living an independent existence on his land, relying upon friends and relatives, the extended family, the clan, the village, to meet most of the needs that an individual might have. Face-to-face relationships. Of course, you mentioned my book, Eros Made Sacred, which the subtitle to that is The Biblical Case for Polygamy. Your audience needs to realize that I've adopted that viewpoint, found it clearly in the scriptures. In fact, I would say that it's really impossible to perpetuate a family-based society unless you have families that are big enough to hold institutional clout in society. And in biblical times, polygamy was a tool for achieving that. As we're rolling into this new millennium, just a thought, if the West's technology begins to grind down over the course of the next few months and years, we're going to see one group of people that will emerge as perhaps the most powerful people in the world, and that's the Muslims. And the Muslim society, they practice polygamy. Iraq is going to come back greater and stronger than ever before, just by virtue of the fact that of this social custom that they have. They can thumb their nose up at our technology because, for one reason, we don't have the will to use it. And when we do use it, we use it ineffectually. If it ever goes down, in this country, for instance, we scarcely replace ourselves in terms of our population. The white European race is vastly outnumbered by at least 10 to 1 in the world, and our women aren't having babies. They're pursuing careers. They're not interested in finding godly husbands. I'm trying to reverse that trend, do my small part in reducing that trend, encouraging women to realize that it's in the home that they find their greatest satisfaction and fulfillment of Yahweh's plans for them.
Well, personally, I've run into an awful lot of ladies out there over the years of traveling and talking. I also share that same belief through my own studies and just plain common sense. But surprisingly, there are a large number of people, when you talk to them in private, who feel the same way. When you can keep the emotionalism out of it and strictly talk biblical, scriptural, and common sense, there are a lot of people who understand this. I was wondering, in all your research, now I have never been able to find it, but where did the philosophy of one wife for life come into our people? I mean, where was that propagated from? Have you ever found that?
Well, if I ever had to lay it at the feet of any one single individual, I would have to lay it at the feet of Augustine. Of course, he was just building on some things that had been going on before in the early church, but the early church came to admire the Stoics. Now, the Stoics were people that felt that the Roman Empire was declining, was becoming decadent and weak. They felt that the virtues of a soldier, austerity, dispassionate relationships, and so forth, were necessary for a strong country. Family life, the values of family life, of being emotionally attached to a woman and children, seemed to be a sign of weakness to the Stoics. The early Christians grew to admire the Stoics because of that, persecutions that arose. Christians felt that they needed to have some kind of a psychological edge in facing those persecutions, and so they adopted the mentality of the warrior, which works out for a time in seasons of distress, but our Lord has created this universe and has created the family to be the central focus of our love and affection, our time and energies and so forth. And but the early church abandoned that, promoted celibacy, inverted sexual values. They came to believe that sexuality was, if not a sign of weakness, was certainly a sign of impurity or outright sin. And so the pursuit began to focus on a passionless existence and a martyrdom. which was opposite to what the creation mandate required of us, which was to go forth and subdue the earth and exercise godly dominion upon the earth, and certainly procreation and family life is central to that task. And of course, all that whole system was perfected by Augustine, who went so far as to teach that that lust itself, that the presence of lust in a man, or sexual desire, if it's a different term you'd rather use, the sexual desire in and of itself was sinful, and consequently, most of us were excluded from the inner sanctum, and so, and of course, that's been perpetuated to such a point that I see it all the time. People have been essentially brainwashed since the earliest years of childhood into a certain type of pattern or outlook towards their sexuality, looking upon it as dirty rather than looking upon it as a gift from God to serve Him. So that would be how I would, in a nutshell, explain what has happened to Christianity. And, of course, there have been more than one occasion when Christianity has fallen to superior cultures. I mentioned the Muslims. They overran huge portions of the earth more than one occasion, and may do so again simply because the Christian West has never learned these basic principles of biblical dominion in the earth.
Well, it's another sign of our disobedience.
Yes, I try to be polite about it as much as I can, but yes, it is a sign of disobedience on the part of Yahweh's people. And just as the children of Israel had to wander around in the desert for 40 years, we've been wandering around for centuries because we've adopted a false theology. And you need to realize, we may think, well, why does this continue? Well, our Father in Heaven has all the time He needs. If our generation fails to pick up the truth and use it, He can wait for another generation. It's our loss, not His. I feel badly that our history seems to repeat itself. We seem to make the same mistakes over and over again. I'm hopeful that the crises that we face in the coming years, that perhaps our people will do it differently this time, and that we will learn a lesson and realize the value of a biblically based and regulated social customs in our families and our use of the land and so forth. If we do, I believe we can enjoy the millennium. I believe that paradise on earth is achievable if we are obedient to our Father in Heaven and to His law.
Absolutely. Before we get too much further into the program, could I ask you a favor, and if you don't mind, let the people know how they could get in touch with you and maybe order the book or get to your website and read some of your writings.
Well, we're in a transition phase in our webpage, and our first page was a small home page that's difficult to find, but when that is transferred over, we are going to have a website that's called www.grailchurch.org. That's spelled GRAILCHURCH.org. I expect that to be up in days. But if people want to get in contact with me, the best way would be through email. That email address is JST, as in Tom, IV, as in Victor, ERS, at GTE.net. That's JStivers at GTE.net. I'd be happy to correspond with anyone who would like to talk to me about this subject or other subjects, and I can provide links for you in my reply to my web pages. If you email me, I can give you a direct link to my web pages, and that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Oh, okay. And I would highly recommend that people read your book, Eros Made Sacred, or The Biblical Case for Polygamy. I've read it twice, and it's an excellent, excellent book. If people can keep an open mind and put away their emotionalism and just read the way you've laid it out, it's pretty darn clear. I wanted to go from there in your Biblical Terronomics number 20. Near the end of it, I noticed you had a phrase in here, and I think it's very appropriate. And here's what it says. Before we engage the adversary in battle, we must, as did the Zadokites of old, cleanse the war camp. Only then will Yahweh draw near and lead us into battle to possess the land. I thought that was a pretty darn powerful little paragraph there to encapsulate what we should be doing and you know, get back. Here's the question. How can you separate Yahweh and his law?
Well, you cannot, because his law is simply a revelation of his divine nature. If you reject the king's law, you reject the king. And so it all goes together. It's a part of divine sovereignty. The Christians seem to ignore that fact, but biblical law is as part of God as anything can be, because it's a revelation of himself. You know, I think that one of the things that is important to realize is that we cannot successfully enforce God's law until we have first purged our own sins, our own disobedience to his law. There's a lot of people out there that get very upset when they see all the wrong things that go on in our society, and they want to try to do something about it. But what I have found too often in Christian circles is that we have not looked at ourselves to see whether we are obedient to his law. And that's in part an explanation for our lack of success. And that's one reason why I looked at the issue of polygamy, because we have too much disobedience within our families, and we try to whitewash it and so forth, but I saw that in that biblical custom, it provided a remedy for many shortcomings in the home that are offensive to God. So anyway, so I would encourage people to take another look at these types of subjects, because God's blessings is a sort of source of our victory, but that we must first cleanse the camp of our own disobedience.
Well, I think you're 100% right, and before they go seeking this kind of knowledge, they have to ask themselves a question. Do they honestly want to know the truth and what Yahweh has said through his word, his written word, and even the spirit, when you're totally honest with yourself? Do they really want the truth, or they just want to be placated with the, as the scripture says, the doctrines that tickle the ears, that are the doctrines of devils, adversaries, and that, you know, they tickle the emotionalism, and they pander to one segment of our society, but they have nothing to do with the truths that Yahweh has put for us to be successful on earth?
Well, this points to the doctrine of redemption, which is a central message in the Christian faith. A lot of people look at the idea of revolution and think that that's the solution. A revolution happens very rarely and very rarely successfully if you study history. What must happen first is that our minds and our hearts need to be redeemed. People need to be redeemed by the truth. We need to be brought back to reality. The scriptures teach us in the Psalms that by mercy and by truth is iniquity purged. I think that Yahweh's judgments are directed to simply awaken us to the reality of truth. And once we can apprehend that, then we can achieve victory in a profound sense where revolutionary tactics would never have achieved it. It's a battle for the minds and the hearts and the aspirations of the people. You have to show them that God's law is the way to achieve a just society and a happy society. We have to convince them of that. Of course, the best way to do that is through the example of our lives. If we can achieve that, then we've achieved the biggest part of the battle.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and unfortunately, we're out of time. So what I'm going to have you do is, if you're willing, back as a guest on the program, if you'd be willing to do that.
Certainly.
All righty. Well, I appreciate you calling in and being a guest tonight. Again, this is Mr. James Wesley Stivers, and his book is Eros Made Sacred, and also Biblical Terranomics. And again, thank you for being on the program, and Yahweh bless, and we'll See you down the road.
Yes.
Real quick, folks, with all the chemical spraying going on in our atmosphere today, commonly known as chemtrails, it's imperative that everyone maintain a proper acid-alkaline balance in their body. Survival is dependent upon our bodies being resistant to this biological warfare. And it goes on to list the number of things that they're putting in the atmosphere. There are health remedies that are available for us to combat this. You need to call Salt Box Herbs at 724-639-9607 and talk to Dr. Judy. Here we go, folks. New century. 1999 is gone. We're looking forward to a new beginning. Onward and upward. Don't give up. We're going to win. Praise Yahweh.